Today's Wednesday. A lot of people call it hump day. I call it Wednesday.
Guess what day it is? Live and local with Monica J. On 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
What day is it? It's the day when you finally stand up for yourself and hold your ground. It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. What's being lost here? I used the analogy yesterday, and I hope people are picking it up. Just like sunsetting taxes, never sunset, never go away. All of these precautions, securities being put in place for your safety, all these changes that are being made, if you allow this to happen, they are never going to go away. Every year, just a little bit more, just another little bite, just another little nibble. People aren't even going to notice. You know the old song or the old story of the frog? You put a frog in a nice pot of water, it's just going to sit in there and play. You turn on that heat, it's just going to get, ooh, the water's getting warmer. Oh, this is not, we got a little hot tub going here. And then they're boiled to death. Dinner time. You throw a frog into a boiling pot of water, it's immediately going to jump out. Well, we're in that hot tub stage right now. And there are people out there who are fighting for your freedoms, for your liberties. And the man I turn to for that is Sean Meehan, who's joining us right now on the Monica J. Show. Sean, thank you so much for being on the show with me today.
Monica, thank you as always for the invite.
This is crazy, Sean. The governor just announced that we are going to be extending our stay-at-home orders, our shutdown, for longer. We have states that have never closed. We have states that are reopening, letting their small businesses go back to work. Because we are a resort town and we have to know how to deal with an influx of thousands of people, all of our small businesses who serve our community are still forced to be shut down. What do you think of all that's going on?
I think from what I've seen that the initial reaction by the various governors was sadly probably all they could do. They had to do something. But as I've talked with several people that I interact with in the constitutional arena, is now that we have data coming in from other countries that have tried other things, it's definitely time for us to adjust. There is a COVID virus. It's a real thing. It makes some people sick, and it does contribute to some deaths. We can't argue that. However, there is data now that shows that we can take our very old population or immunocompromised people, things like that, and encourage them to self-quarantine or through other measures and allow the rest of us to go out and get this herd mentality, this herd immunity and various things like that. And there's people that apparently have had this virus and have had no symptoms, a significant number. There's a lot at play here. There's tax revenue that's needed to fund fighting this and operating our state government, although it needs to be smaller, but that's a separate conversation. And that comes from business activity, and we don't have any business activity. A friend of mine in Idaho, who's a legislator I trust, told me that the calls, and this was a couple weeks ago, so I assume it's worse. Calls to their suicide hotline were up 800%. People are not outside getting sunlight to activate their natural vitamin D. There are serious consequences to staying locked inside. And I'm working on other projects I was working on, but recently I was contacted by a fellow patriot that I trust in Las Vegas. And she was very passionate about let's do something and asked me to help lend my awareness of politics and ability to do something. So what we're looking at doing is we've talked to a few attorneys, got one on board right now drafting a complaint on civil rights grounds against the governor to turn off the shutdown. What we're trying to do to be efficient is to mirror a complaint filed by Harmeet Dhillon. She's a very well-known civil rights lawyer in the Bay Area.
Oh, she's fantastic.
Have you seen her on Fox? She's amazing.
Oh,
and
my
she's
gosh.
She's working with a law firm in L.A.
Yeah, I follow her on social media.
And they got yesterday, the federal court in California denied their claim, and it read like, you know, Chairman Mao's little red book when I read the rejection. Complete revisionism of the Constitution. But as I understand it, they immediately appealed it to the Ninth Circuit Court. Thankfully, President Trump has turned that court to more of a 50-50 balance. So I guess it depends which judges they draw.
Yeah.
As I understand it, depending on what happens there, they may take it all the way to the Supreme Court. I was also just contacted this morning by another lawyer that's interested in joining in this effort or not. So where this is at is we're trying to figure out, without wasting time or energy, is how this California one goes, because they're kind of breaking trail, as it were.
Uh-huh.
And if we file in the federal court in Nevada, it would be much, much easier, because those are federal civil rights arguments that would cross over. And that's what we want, is this to be turned off or severely adjusted, because there are now competent medical professionals that challenge what's being done. And Monica, this gets even more serious and broad, because I call him Governor Darth Sisolak from Star mm-hmm. Wars. This is the deal. Pray I don't alter it.
Exactly.
He is ignoring all Republican legislators. I have this from some trusted sources that emails and phone calls from Republican legislators are being ignored. If only he was to pick up the phone or his staff and say, thanks for calling. We disagree. I'm the governor. You're not. Click. They're not even doing that. I'm happy that my fellow Nevadans are out there going in protest, driving, making noise, fellowshipping with fellow Nevadans, trading ideas. But we have to be honest with ourselves. That has a therapeutic, energetic, charging yourself up value, but it does nothing. This governor is convinced that 60 to 70% of Nevadans are still scared to death of the virus. So he doesn't have to answer or respond. And the only effective way I think we're going to do anything is with a federal civil rights lawsuit that directs him to honor the Constitution. So that's kind of what we're trying to make happen right now.
Does it give you any hope that AG Bill Barr is actually putting plans in place to have others overseeing the different states that are perpetrating these violations against our civil liberties, that he says that the governors are in the wrong?
I was very glad to see the Attorney General's message that you're talking about. I think it doesn't really prescribe a lot of action at this point, but I think it postures where his office is looking to go. And my understanding of that, and I do need to still hear back from, I think it was an attorney general or a U.S. attorney in Minnesota that he put as the point person, and we've got a message out to them. But I think what we need to find out is if those of us out there file these lawsuits, if they would join into the lawsuit. And as you can imagine, if the Department of Justice signs on to something, you've just increased your horsepower, you know, tenfold. But we've got to see where we're at and what we can end up doing here to direct the governor to follow the Constitution. Because
It just seems to me like when he said it, it was a directed message to a majority of the Democrat governors who were keeping everything shut down, that, you know, we're watching and we will be coming, almost a form of intimidation, that we will be coming after you, that maybe they would make the right choice. And then Sisolak did not make the right choice.
I think that's a good point, Monica. But sadly, in this climate that we're in, I see and you know, when you're an elected official, you're sovereign to a certain extent. You're not, unless you do certain acts, and I'm not a lawyer, but it's a real high bar. You don't get sued personally. And some of these Democrats, whether it's their Trump derangement syndrome or their incredible lust for power or just ignorance, or, you know, I don't know what their story is, but some of them, when they're reached out to by citizens, is they're pushing back, they're ignoring, they're not discussing. I would have to say that if certain elected officials in this state were willing to sit down or talk to a panel of citizens or something like this, produce some information, even if it was something I disagreed with, and said, okay, Sean and whoever the, you know, gaggle of people you're with, we've heard you. This is what we think is best. This is what we're going to do. That would still suck, but that's how our process and our government works. Our Nevada Constitution has a very special word in it that I like, is we are empowered. One of our civil rights in Nevada is to engage and instruct our elected officials. When you're telling me, as my elected governor, you're not going to talk to my elected state senator and state assemblyman, you are telling me you don't care, that you're a king and I'm subservient and I work for you. And I'm not going to tolerate that when 1.4 million of my fellow soldiers died in the history of this country to defend that Constitution. I will not ask permission for my rights. I am going to make you give them to me. And we're at that point where I'm getting really fed up and tired. It's not time to say, you know, send the toilet paper, do whatever everybody's doing. But that ain't going to change this tyrant's mind. We must engage with every lever that we have at our disposal. And right now, the strongest is the federal court system.
All right. Hey, Sean, I'm going to take a quick break here. Would you please stay on the line? Because I've got callers calling in that actually want to ask you a question. So stick around. We're going to be right back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk station. 99.1 KKFT. KKFT.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's your show, talking about what concerns you directly, not just nationally, directly, all of Northern Nevada. Let's go back to the phone lines. Sean Meehan is my guest, guarding the Constitution, and we are in some real constitutional areas here, Sean, because Governor Sisolak has once again gone before the people and said, you know what, we're continuing the shutdown. We're not lifting it. From my understanding, the counties have say above the governor. I may be wrong on this, but there are a couple of counties that are meeting and they're just going to open up. When Governor Sisolak is now saying, we are going to stay shut down.
Well, every elected official takes an oath under the U.S. Constitution's Article 6 to be loyal to their state constitution and the federal constitution. And there are some legal rulings in history that doesn't give courts the final say, and that these elected officials are expected to exercise their reasonable judgment and make those determinations on their own. And there is some great reference material in the California lawsuit I talked about where California courts had ruled. And one is an example here from the 1900s. Early California courts found that public health officials could not quarantine 12 blocks of San Francisco's Chinatown because of 9 deaths due to the bubonic plague. We can argue the bubonic plague is probably a much higher death rate, much, much higher death rate than COVID. And the court held that they still couldn't quarantine there. And there's others I won't bother to read that go on and make brilliant arguments that the infected people or the reasonably suspected infected people, they're the ones you need to quarantine and arguably need to protect, not the rest of us. And as you're well aware, there's
for me, that's just common sense.
Well, there you go. It's not as common as we'd like it to be.
Thank you.
But they make some due process arguments from the 5th and 14th Amendment and things like that. You probably heard me use this example before. What we're seeing is, I've actually seen elected officials, state officials say this, but we're in remarkable times. We have to set the Constitution aside. And then all the founders roll over.
Oh, God.
As a pilot, I can tell you, you're flying a twin-engine aircraft, your plane catches on fire, you pull out your emergency checklist, and that is derived in calm times with psychological analysis, engineers, and experts to be followed to the letter in an emergency. What usually happens is you get a pilot that deviates from the checklist, shuts down the good engine, so now you got one on fire, the good one that could give you power and save your life is out, and you're going to crash and burn. Our Constitution is an emergency checklist. We need to, now the initial jerk off reaction that these people said, we got to do something. I get it. But now that we have the data in, we must listen and adjust and follow the Constitution. It is not meant to be set aside.
And fortunately, some governors,
times like these.
And fortunately, some governors are actually doing that. They either didn't shut down their state or they're reopening them, starting with the small businesses. Sean, we've got a call from a listener. We've got Ron on the line with us who has a question for you. Hi, Ron. Thanks for calling in. What's your question for Sean?
Hi, Monica. Thank you for taking my call. I have a quick statement and a question. I'm one of those guys that goes out there and protests on Saturday, and I'll be there Saturday. And we are making a statement just as much to the Republican Party in Nevada as we are to the governor. They need to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, why will the governor take the Republican leaders, Wheeler and Settlemyer and Dr. Titus, serious on their letters when they've all stated publicly in different meetings that they're not going to cross the governor because they got to get along with him and the Democrats? That's why he's blowing them off. They made that stand early on.
I agree with Ron, Sean.
I'll take the answer off the air because I want to shut my...
Okay, Ron, thank you. Thank you for the question.
You're welcome.
Well, I can't speak for those elected officials, but I can tell you that as a member of our Republican Party in Nevada, I know that they're looking at things, they're working on things, and they are trying to reach out to the governor. But what the caller might be missing, and I haven't heard any of those statements that he's talking about, not saying they did or didn't happen. I'll let those elected officials answer for themselves.
What he's referring to, Sean, is every single one of the Republican elected official or elected representatives, except for John Ellison out in Elko, Senator Ellison, refused to sign the recall petition. Because they have to go along with the excuse they have to go along to get along, that they have to deal with the governor in the next legislative session and that he's going to shut them down. So they don't want to cross him. That's where that's coming from.
Okay. And if that's what they said, again, I have to let them answer for that. That's their political calculation. That's not up to me to evaluate. What we're doing, and by the way, thank you, Ron, for, you know, that you are protesting and firing people up. I don't know that that's going to have any effect ultimately on the governor here. However, I do think that's a important component to call attention and get people fired up. But what bothers me is that these people show up, they're good patriotic Americans, they're fired up, they trade stories and ideas. And I actually heard from some people that were in Las Vegas at the last big one they had this last weekend. And there were stories of tattoo artists, hairdressers, people like that, that don't have any money to buy food. They haven't gotten any money in a month. And those are the stories that worry me. And people are protesting, mm-hmm. but they're not. We haven't found a way to crack this egg open, if you know what I'm saying. My hope is that we get a federal lawsuit that goes the distance. That I think at a very minimum, I think this would still not be fully constitutional, but at a very minimum would say you must cater what you're doing. It's draconian. It's tyrannical. Pull it back. Let your businesses open. And many people that I'm working with have voluntarily said they would voluntarily adhere to the 6-foot distancing. Some would wear masks. They're not out there trying to kiss everybody and give them COVID. Mm-hmm. They just want a free market economy. Because that's what's going to, you know, people are entering serious depression, alcoholism, suicide, mm-hmm. domestic abuse. These are real problems.
Financial ruin.
I lay these at the feet of our governor, who not only I think is partially, if not fully causal in these problems, but he's ignoring his citizens. We are his employers, by the way. He works for us. He is ignoring any dialogue with those of us reaching out to say we want a remedy and we want it now. And that's
Democrats that don't agree with him, he's ignoring them as well. Sean, how can people get involved and follow what you're doing quickly? What any way that they can follow this whole situation of bringing this lawsuit?
As I understand it, your engineer was putting a link on your website. But for those listening in, we put a page together on our group together on Facebook. It's action/help us sue gov.for governor, so gov.sisolak for constitutional rights violations. And we're interacting with members and trying to post an idea of what's going on. And the final update I'll tell you on that is the California case that we're trying to mirror is at the Ninth Circuit Court right now. Fully support the competency of the attorneys pushing that. We're working with some attorneys here that are following it, trying to strategize. By the way, they've told us they're going to pursue this action for no charge. So unless something changes, that takes fundraising burden off our backs. And I talked to the attorney personally. I like their approach. They're respected by other attorneys that I know. And our hope is that they get something in California that we can go, or from the Ninth Circuit, because guess what? If the Ninth Circuit issues it, we are in the Ninth Circuit in Nevada. That would then become also directive on Nevada.
Yeah, it sets precedent.
Federal court ruling that we can tell this guy he needs to listen in.
All right. Sean, thank you so much for taking this head on, and we appreciate your loyalty to the Constitution and, again, the group guarding the Constitution with Sean Meehan and others. Thank you so much for joining us today, and please keep us informed and call in with updates as often as you like.
Thanks for what you do every day, Monica. God bless.
Thanks, Sean. God bless you as well. Here's the bottom line. Not just getting onto the Facebook, not just getting into groups and things like that. There are businesses. There are businesses in Reno. There are businesses in Carson City that are opening on Friday. Small businesses, mom and pop shops, barber shops, salons. Please support and help protect them. Support and help protect them. We're going to be back after this Fox News update with a Sparks City Council candidate. We'll be back with him. And if I could get that, Paul Anderson will be joining us for Sparks City Council Ward 3 right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT 99.1 FM Talk, and live right now with your calls.
Your calls, your questions, your concerns, your emails, Monica at 991FMTalk.com, your calls at 884-9910, and of course, just everything on the website, podcasts, streaming at 991FMTalk.com, including our poll question. Today's poll question. Do you have rekindled faith that the unemployment system will be fixed by a woman who works and has been in the healthcare industry? The healthcare industry. She was the person in charge, the director of the Silver State Health Insurance Exchange. And now Governor Sisolak has appointed her the director of the Department of Employment, Training, and Rehabilitation. Rather than taking somebody who knows that system, who knows everything about the unemployment insurance for the state, he goes this route. By the way, she also works very heavily and has been a volunteer for years and years and years with, well, let's just say not too keen on your gun rights. Yeah. So she's been working for a long time with those working to take down your gun rights. How do you feel? How do those of you who are unemployment, that haven't gotten calls, that haven't gotten returned emails, that haven't gotten anything, including and especially a check, how do you feel about the new leadership? And by all means, you can email me your comments as well at Monica at 991FMTalk.com. It really does feel like we're in the fight for our lives right now, especially if you own a small business that has been deemed inconsequential. I mean, non-essential. That's, I guess, how they put it. Essential and non-essential. Go out and exercise, take a walk, walk around the golf course. But by all means, do not play golf. Go to the parks, go to the playgrounds, but by all means, do not play. Don't play basketball. Don't play catch. No swings, no merry-go-round. Just meander around 6 feet away from everybody else. The primary election has been ignored for so long. In the primary election, you vote for who is going to speak for you, who you trust to be your voice. And that's why we are letting all candidates have their voice. Spark City Council has three challengers in the primary for Ward 3 seat. We have Dan Ness, we have Andrea Tavener, and we have Paul Anderson. And speaking of having Paul Anderson, we have Paul Anderson joining us right now. Paul, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, good morning, Monica, and thank you for letting me join you.
So let's talk about the city of Sparks. You know, when I hear complaints, I hear a lot about the city of Reno, but I do not hear a lot about the city of Sparks, Paul. Why do you want to run to be on the city council?
Well, thank you for asking. And I've been serving as a Sparks City Councilman for Ward 3 for about a year and a half now. I was appointed by the city council back in December of 2018 when Ron Smith was elected mayor. And so I've been in the role and actually doing the job. And you're right, City of Sparks, we're doing the right things. We're making the hard decisions and making sure that the city's heading in the right direction. And especially in these crazy times, that's what we need to be focusing on more than ever.
How would you handle getting people back to work, Paul? What do you think the city of Sparks should be doing or saying to the county?
Well, a lot of it obviously has to do with where the governor stands on it, because some of the things we have to comply with from that standpoint, because he ultimately has the say when it comes to the regulations on that health side. So we can ease up some things that I see as things are, in my opinion, starting to look like they're flattening out for us here. And I really think that we do have business owners in our community that know the right thing to do. And with some guidance from us on the government side, making sure that they're taking health concerns seriously and protecting the health of their employees and the customers, I really think that we're right at the threshold of being able to get ramped up here in the near future.
So if this didn't happen, where do you want to see growth and future considerations for the city of Sparks? What do you want to see happen?
Well, I mean, our motto has been that we want to be the city where people want to live, work, and play. And to do that, you've got to be growing. So as far as the growth from the residential standpoint, obviously the most efficient and the best thing to do is kind of like what you're seeing in the downtown Sparks area right now, with going up with the building, building higher density, multifamily type facilities, and that's actually what you're seeing in my ward over near the marina, where, gosh, it's almost 1,000 apartments that have gone in over the last year. With more still being built, as well as, like I said, in the downtown Sparks area. On the business side, really one of the things that we're hoping for, and you've probably heard some talk of this, of expanding out the roadway from La Posada heading out to the USA Parkway. Mm-hmm. And that really what we foresee is that being a new business park region for Sparks.
I totally agree with that. And boy, do you have such a treasure there with the Sparks Marina. doing all to protect that. Now, what about when it comes to entertainment and getting people out and about?
Yeah, again, it's one of those things that we obviously you need to be cautious, and that's the fine line that I see is walking the line of being cautious and making sure that we are distancing ourselves, you know, the most we can, and but letting people get out and enjoy. We've got people, volunteers, that have just been begging to let them play, you know, music down at the marina and making sure that everyone's staying distance apart and things like that. And those are the kind of things that really I think are going to be healthy. I've been very involved in suicide prevention here, and this is really concerning. All the things we tell people not to do if they're thinking suicidal thoughts is to self-isolate and mm-hmm. withdraw and separate yourself from events and other people. Those are the things you don't want to be doing, and yet that's what we've asked everyone to do. And I really think that we're, like I said, we're right at the threshold to be able to get out there and start enjoying our beautiful community, enjoying the marina and the other parts of our community, but do so safely.
You know, Paul, one of the things that has been such a contrast between the city of Sparks and the city of Reno is the homeless issue. And people look at the city of Sparks as the way to go just because of the fact that you enforce or you encourage the enforcement of existing laws. Is that something that can be improved upon? What do you see for the future of homelessness prevention, actually, in the future?
Well, we really do have a lot of resources in our community. I mean, between Washoe County, Reno, and Sparks, we have a lot of homelessness issues, but likewise, a lot of resources to support that. One of the things that we've done just in the last year is hire on more police assistants. One of their primary roles is to patrol the problematic areas with homelessness, which, you know, one of them, my family and I, we used to walk up and down the river, you know, here in Sparks a lot. Mm-hmm. We stopped doing it when it became, it quite honestly felt dangerous. So between the police department, parks department, public works, they've really done a fantastic job of making it safe again. But having the police assistance and committing, you know, public works efforts to clean up the downtown area all the way to the river, it's looking a lot better. And likewise, it's the police assistance along with the most people there from the county are able to help direct these homeless people to the places that they should be, where they're getting help, getting medical
services.
Treatment, and exactly the services that they need. And that's really one of the things that we've been focusing on here in Sparks and plan to do it even more so in the coming year.
It's really frustrating here in Reno because you get those activists out there, the ones that think they're doing right by encouraging the homeless to just be left alone. The first thing they'll scream at you is, where are the services? You know, and it's like they don't believe that they're actually there. But from all of this, Paul, we're going to see income to the cities just drop. People can't work. Yeah. They can't pay taxes into the system. What do you foresee? Is there going to be, do you have supplemental monies in the general fund? What's going to be the issue for the city of Sparks on going forward with money?
It's going to be troublesome. Here we thought we were pretty much done with our budget. We've been working through with city staff and leadership over the past, 6 months. And just about the time we thought we were done, here we are. Right now, we're estimating our budget shortfall of $11.5 million. Mm. Obviously, all the things that we hope to be doing are going to have to be rethought. And with that, getting, you know, down to some hard decisions on where we're going to make up that shortfall.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we really don't have a whole lot of slush fund area. We do have a couple areas that we believe that we can work off of that that can help us out. One of them is a stabilization fund that we believe we can draw some funds out of. Some of the new fire truck that was going to be $1 million instead of that, we're probably going to have to put that into covering our deficit, as well as some of the other vehicles. So we've got some funds that we're going to pull from, but it's definitely going to impact our departments as a whole.
Well, I think when they say
increased taxes.
Yeah, there goes your campaign if you even consider that. That's the thing. They say we're all in this together, and I have a feeling it's we're all in this together feeling the pain of what just happened. So, Paul Anderson, do you have a website that people can log on to find out more about your platforms and your campaign?
Sure. It's actually Paul Anderson 4, and that's the number 4, sparks.org. And love to have people reach out, and if they've got questions, concerns, or likewise thoughts about how we can turn things around.
Paul Anderson for sparks.org.
That's it.
That's it. See, I got it. That short-term memory is kind of kicking in. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with the campaign, and I can't wait to see and hear you and your challengers, talking about what is the best and how to work for all the people of the city of Sparks. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have an awesome day.
You too. Oh, it's so nice when people are positive and wanting to work together. That's how we get it on the community level, on the city, on the county level. I just wish the mayor of Reno and the governor of Nevada would have that same interest of working with others. We'll be back on the show right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
99.1 KKFT. Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1.
It's the Monica Jay Show on this beautiful Wednesday on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Going to be an even better Saturday. I hope I see you in Carson City. We're going to be caravanning down from Reno. We're going to meet up at 10 o'clock at the Summit Mall in the theater parking lot. Then we're going to head to Carson City, where we're going to meet up in the big parking lot there, down at the shopping center just south of the Capitol. The ones with Sportsman's Warehouse over there off of Carson Street. Fear is a powerful thing. And when you let fear drive you and your actions, no good can come of it. What happened to all the t-shirts from decades ago that just had the word fearless on the front of them? People jumping off of buildings, parachuting, doing extreme sports. They still do it. But a bug comes along that has been misrepresented, shuts down the entire world. And every single day, we learn more and more about how this was manipulated, how it has been mishandled, how it has been abused. Because in Nancy Pelosi's words, you never let a good crisis go to waste. They will be adjusting how we live our lives. Bless the businesses and the business owners who are taking a stand and opening. Good for you. Call. Email me. If you are harassed, we will get the word out and help protect you. If you're sick, stay home. The strong will survive, and we will defend the Constitution and our civil liberties. You know, that life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. Going to church, going to work, going to see friends and family, even if someone is on their deathbed. You can't keep us locked up and you can't keep us shut down. Join Jerry tomorrow night from 5 to 6. He's going to have a special COVID update, COVID-19 update, starting with Governor Sisolak's update. Seems he's got a lot to say tomorrow, and I can't wait to hear him talk and talk and talk, and yet still do nothing. Protect your rights. Get out. And for God's sake, don't snitch on your neighbors. That is just despicable. It's the Monica Jay Show. Love you. I'll be here tomorrow, 10 to noon. Have a great one.